Hey there, it's Amanda here, the founder of Astrology Hub, and I'd like to invite you to join me and 12 top astrologers for our 6th annual free 2022 forecast panel event happening this December 8th and 9th. And with the USA's Pluto return, the nodal axis shift, the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in Pisces, and some other really key transits happening next year, it would be ideal to get the astrological weather forecast early so you can be prepared for what's ahead. You'll hear expert astrological insights from astrologers like Achyuta Bhava, Adam Summer, Stormy Grace, Gary Caton, Michael Bryan, Christopher Renstrom, Jen Zart, and more. The event is free and will be taking place on December 8th and 9th, 2021. If you can't join us live or for the full event, make sure you register so we know to send you the limited time recordings. To reserve your spot, register today at astrologyhub.com/forecastpanel. We hope to see you there. All right. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the 2022 Prep Series. Today, I am so happy to be here with Rachel Onojaffe, and we are going to be talking about how 2022 is a time to find our inner strength in the eye of the storm. So Rachel's going to go through the astrology and what she means by that. And this 2022 Prep Series is really designed to do a couple things. Number one, to introduce you to the astrologers who will be on our forecast panel, our free forecast panel, December 8th and 9th, and who will be walking us through the astrology of 2022, having discussions about it. I love this event because you get to see the interaction between the astrologers, and it's always so much fun. So that's happening next week, actually. Registration is completely free. So you're gonna meet Rachel at that event, and you're gonna meet her today. I love to have this opportunity to go deep with the astrologers on an individual podcast episode so we can really unpack the astrology and then use the panel event for more of the discussion and the back and forth and to really get all those different perspectives all in one place. And then the other thing, let's see. Oh, Rachel is also going to be one of our inner circle astrologers for 2022. So we'll be talking about her mastery class, what she's going to be teaching when she is the astrologer for the inner circle. So any of you inner circle members out there, you get an opportunity to get to know your guides for next year. All right. So Rachel has been on our podcast before. If you missed that episode and you haven't heard Rachel's story, I highly recommend going back to episode 341. And this was all about your leadership archetype. So exploring your midheaven and your north node. That was such a fun episode, Rachel. I loved it so much.
I had so much fun. And it was the first one too. It was just like, it was great. And it was so great talking to you and also having people ask questions live. It was just, yeah, magic.
So much fun. Yes, exactly. And Rachel, actually, you has been an inner circle member with us for a long time.
Yes.
And it was one of your goals, actually, to be an inner circle astrologer someday, right?
Yes. Yes. Goals, dreams, like wild, you know, visions. Yes. And I never thought it would be here. So I'm so excited.
It's amazing. We're so happy to have you. Okay. So let's talk about why you're saying 2022 is a year to find our inner strength in the eye of the storm. Tell us what that's about.
First of all, I love the idea of like finding a theme for the year. A few years ago, I started noticing people talking about, oh, having like a word for the year. Yeah. You know, everyone likes to have a word for the year. And then I was thinking, okay, I think about next year, you know, the astrology, I'm looking at all the transits, looking at everything that's happening, planning for my lunation, like what is the theme? And, you know, it was challenging, but also it also just hit me like a bolt of lightning. I was like, okay, it's in our inner, you know, our inner strength is the eye of the storm.
Oh, and our inner strength is the eye of the storm.
Yes. Yes.
That's a little twist on what I was saying before. Okay. That's interesting.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So our inner strength being the eye of the storm, this idea came to me because I was thinking about like the nodal shift, you know, the fact that the nodes are currently in Gemini and Sag, and they're going to be moving into Taurus and Scorpio in the fixed signs. You know, that was like one thing that's been really standing out to me about next year, although that's not the main transit we're going to talk about today, but I think we're living in this time when there's a lot of uncertainty, and we can see that in the astrology as well. There are things, you know, everything's being disrupted. We've had Uranus, you know, going to Taurus, and now we have Saturn in Aquarius, and, you know, and there's just a lot of kind of what I would describe as like shifting sands. And I feel like a lot of us have felt that we're kind of standing on ground that is constantly moving and constantly shifting. We don't know if we're in lockdown or out of lockdown. We don't know what kind of, you know, job, should we stay in our job? Should we switch jobs? You know, I just saw a story on TV a couple of days ago called The Great Resignation, which is such an interesting idea. It's this idea that so many Americans are resigning from their jobs or have resigned from their jobs, you know, in 2020 and now carrying on through 2021. And they think that, you know, that trend's going to continue. So it's like, all of these things that we used to think were really stable, that we could rely on, that would never change, are changing. And so standing on these shifting sands, the question is, okay, well, what can we hold on to? What can we, you know, like cling to amidst like the storm of what's going on around us? And honestly, like I, you know, refer to myself as the cosmic coach. I marry these two worlds of coaching and astrology, and coaching is having a moment. I mean, coaching as an industry, I think, is really having a moment, and it's growing. It's become an incredible way for people to make money working from home, you know, in that way. A lot of moms, you know, like who want to be with their kids, want to have the flexibility, or becoming coaches. And then it's also, I think, shows that there's this like cultural zeitgeist to, you know, find how we can rely on ourselves, you know, like whether that be through mindset work, through understanding ourselves through astrology, like all of these different tools, breath work, right? Like all these different tools, like married with this like rise of coaching, I think just is reflecting what's going on in the cultures, that people feel that things are so uncertain. It's like, how can we find that certainty in ourselves? How can we be the eye of the storm? And I love the concept of inner strength. I think that is absolutely what we can, you know, prepare. That's how we can prepare ourselves. That's how we can find our certainty amidst all of the uncertainty in the world. So that's how I would introduce that topic.
It's so interesting because I remember before 2020, Anne Ortley saying that that 2020 was the year to find our inner authority.
Ooh,
and yeah. So it sounds to me like there's this continuation on it. Then that sounded like words.
That's a nice idea.
But as we're seeing the authority figures, the authority structures, the authority systems that we have relied on, as we're seeing those crumble and become unstable and be confused and all the things that we're witnessing, it's more and more true. Like more and more, like, it's not just that, oh, that's a nice idea. It's like, oh, we actually have to find that. And so what you're saying to me feels like a continuation of that. It's like even finding not just inner authority, but you're using the word inner strength, because the other thing that's become clear is that resilience and the ability to, you know, not give in to the fatigue or the exhaustion or the desire to distract or somehow try to escape from what's happening, that we need strength for that.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, it's really interesting, like when you talk about like mindset work and coaching, like uncertainty is always present. Like I think we had this false sense of security maybe before 2020. That's how I would put it.
Yeah.
A false sense of security in like our jobs, for example, the idea that, well, I have this job, this is a stable, steady job. You know, I want to start a business, but this seems safe, you know, and then 2020 like pulls the rug out. And then it's like, oh, wait, maybe this isn't safe, or maybe this isn't what I wanted after all. And so the uncertainty was always there. There are always, you know, terrible things that are going to happen or could happen potentially, but now it's like staring us in the face. Now we're more aware of the uncertainty. And exactly what you said, I think this is where we bring in the necessity of resilience. That eye of the storm, like I was researching a little bit because I've always loved that terminology, the eye of the storm. And that's kind of how I visualize it, like that inner peace that you feel within yourself despite what's going on around you. That's what we, I think a lot of us want. And a lot of us are cultivating in ourselves. Like I remember I used to, you know, suffer with like really bad anxiety and, you know, and I would always just be like in this kind of fight or flight, you know, panic mode. And once I found, you know, meditation, astrology, personal growth practices, I was able to calm that and realize that, okay, no matter what's happening around me, no matter, you know, what kind of stimulus is happening, I can actually access a place in myself of peace and I can be okay. So that's the eye of the storm that I think we all just can cultivate deeper in ourselves now. I love astrology because I think astrology is just this incredible tool for understanding ourselves better, right? And yeah. So in order to build the resilience, we can't, it's not a fake it till you make it situation. I used to say that all the time. I used to say, oh, I'm just going to fake it till I make it, you know, and that kind of worked, but not really. With what astrology shows us is like, you know, these are the gifts that you have. This is your personality. This is how, what you were born with and the tools that can support you, you know, as you are. And this is how you can like deal with stress. Like I always look at Mars. This is how you can, you know, work with your mental health. You know, I always look at Mercury. So there's these tools and these hidden things that can now become, you know, become manifest and we can now use them and in such an intentional way. So it's, yeah, I just love astrology. Obviously, that's why I'm here.
That's why we're all here. Hey, yeah. So question for you. Do you think certain signs or certain configurations of signs are better at handling uncertainty than others? Like, because I know for as a Capricorn, one of the things that I love to be able to do, and it feels like it's harder to do these days, is to have those long-term goals, is to have that, like when I look and I see the what appears to be the top of the mountain, which I've learned there's always another peak that I'll climb the next one. But there's something about being able to do that. There's some sort of comfort in that of like, okay, like here's the focus, here's the direction, here's what I'm working towards. With all the uncertainty, it's like, well, I think this is what I'm working towards. I think this is where we're going. There, I think it's probably a much healthier detachment because there's so much that it's just obvious is completely out of our control. And there's only so much we can control. So it's like, okay, what can I control? What do I need to let go of? But do you think that there is astrological makeups that are just like uncertainty is okay. And they're actually kind of good with it. And it's no big deal.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really good question. First of all, I would say that the mutable signs are better with dealing with change, you know, or better at dealing with change, I should say. So if you're looking at your Sagittarius, we're in Sagittarius season right now. If you're looking at your Pisces, if you're looking at your Virgo, you know, like those are going to be more adaptable. I think that adaptability is key here. I did a masterclass once called Adapting to Change. And so I don't necessarily think that one sign is better than another for how do I, you know, cope with uncertainty, but I think that some of them are more naturally flexible. Yeah. And it's such a good question. Like you can look at like the sign of Taurus and say, "Oh, well that seems like, okay, they're really stable, right? Like the Taurus sign." But then there's something to be said for being too, you know, stiff and too, you know, inflexible so that things just break, you know? Right. So I think that all of the signs have that high expression of being able to meet whatever challenge comes at them. I really do. Yeah. And, there's also the low expression of like holding on too tight, you know, earth signs or fire signs, quitting everything, you know, without thinking ahead or air signs getting overwhelmed. Right. So there's lots of, I think there's, just to be.
Or water signs, just say it because the water signs are there going, what about us?
Or water signs, just, ignoring everything. Just trying to like, oh, everything's fine. Like, Or getting, emotionally overwhelmed. So I do think there's always a low expression for every sign. So I guess the short answer to your question is, I don't think any sign is necessarily any better, but I think that the modes, you know, the mutable signs probably have a little bit extra, you know, nuggets in their pocket that we could learn from about how to be flexible for sure. It's a great question.
All right. So Rachel, we have becoming the eye of the storm. as overarching theme for 2022. And I'm like you, Rachel. For me, the theme thing is always so nice because I can't tell you how, like, I remember that thing Anne said in 2019. She said, "Yeah, becoming your inner authority." But when I have those themes, it's like, okay, I can hook onto that, and that can be a guiding force throughout the next year. So say it again.
Our inner strength is the eye of the storm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell us what transit, you mentioned the nodal shift, but what other transits do you have your eye on for 2022 as the biggest things happening?
Yeah, absolutely. And just a note on the nodal shift. So the reason that really inspired me with this whole theme is that, you know, those fixed signs of Taurus and Scorpio, right? Like the fixed signs are so much about, okay, how do we survive and thrive in the world? And so next year, you know, with all of the continued uncertainty and continued changes and all of the big outer planetary, like, you know, shifts and movements and era that we're in, like those fixed signs, I think are going to help us to stay grounded amidst the transformation, right? I always found it so fascinating that Scorpio is a fixed sign, but also a water sign, you know, and Taurus being like fixed and earth. So it's like, okay, how do we find that fixedness amid a world that is not fixed, right? The only constant is change. So I just want to make that note on the nodes and why that inspired me so much as well. But absolutely, we are in this. Oh, and I also mentioned like Uranus is in Taurus. It's not moving in. It's already in Taurus, but that's continuing, right? That disruption, that innovation of our foundation is continuing. We're continuing to be in that moment. And then I want to talk about Neptune. So my big kind of, you know, thing that I want to talk about in terms of planetary movements is the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction. But before I get to that, you know, Neptune is in Pisces right now, and it's been in Pisces for the last 10 years, and we have five more, right? So we're kind of in the midst of all of this like period of time, this season of life where we have Neptune in Pisces. And, you know, for everyone who is totally up on their astrology, you know that in modern times, Neptune rules Pisces. And in the ancient times, like Jupiter ruled Pisces, but now we associate it with Neptune. And so it's like the home sign, you know, and it's this really like beautiful, but kind of very watery and often like considered stormy kind of placement. So it's really interesting. I was looking at up like the information about the planet of Neptune. And when I teach astrology, I always like to give a bit of the astronomy as well, of course. But Neptune is considered the planet with the highest winds. You know, it's the stormiest, you know, and I think that makes a lot of sense because when we think of Neptune, some of the kind of challenges with Neptune are that we feel like we're in this kind of like illusion, like we're not clear on where we are. There's a bit of fog. We're trying to get clarity, and that can be a bit challenging. So that's another one of the kind of aspects that I wanted to mention, that it's like a tribute that's contributing to the storm that we're in as well, is that we're all trying to connect to what we truly believe is happening. We're all trying to connect to a sense of reality amidst the Neptunian storm. And we're also trying to connect to the divine, which is the high expression of Neptune, right? It's like that spiritual connection. What is bigger than ourselves? What is it all for? What is the meaning of this? I'm really excited about, you know, continuing to explore Neptune in Pisces next year, because I think that Neptune in Pisces is showing us, okay, let's see the bigger picture. Maybe the meaning is not necessarily in the tiny details. It's in the bigger picture of what we're going through, who we are, you know, life.
Rachel, as you were speaking about Neptune being the windiest planet, I live on Maui, and Maui is actually known for being very windy. It's where windsurfers come, and, you know, especially at certain times of the year and certain positions on the island itself. And so the trade winds will come in, or, you know, it'll be very windy. And when it's windy, it's irritating, you know, because it's like this incessant, like, it's hard to hear. It's hard to like get focused. It's hard to really not be distracted by the fact that it's so windy and kind of annoying and frustrating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I can feel that with this Neptune in Pisces. It's kind of like this, with the fog, in addition to the fog, but adding wind to it, it's like, oh, God, like
it's the storm.
Really uncomfortable. You know, it's really uncomfortable to, and it's really hard to like find that anchor with all that swirling. And it can be very disorienting.
Yes, exactly. Disorienting. But then at the same time, it's like when you're in that state of like kind of almost confusion, sometimes there can be these moments of like everything clears, you're in the eye, and then you see the bigger picture. You understand like, okay, now it's starting to all make sense. And so I think we'll have moments of that, but we have to find them amidst that uncertainty. Mm.
It's so good. I was sitting in the car the other day. I got locked into the car and you know, but then I went to open the door because I decided I want to get out, but then the car alarm went off.
Oh yes. So I've done this.
The car alarm is just going and I'm like, okay, you, that's a really irritating sound. Talk about irritating. I'm like, how can I just stay like calm and relaxed as this really annoying loud thing? And I know everybody's looking and trying to figure out where it's coming from, but there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. Like I can't get out of the car to go get the keys and I can't stop it from the inside. So I'm just going to have to sit here. So it sounds to me like what you're saying is we need to, you know, as again, as these things are happening, like very mindfully cultivate the ability to stay calm and stay in ourselves, even when it's, the car.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what, and I think that's what will create that sense of harmony and balance within ourselves, is that we don't need to always be like super happy and up and joyful like all the time. That's not what this means, but there can be like a bit more of an even keel, you know. It's like, okay, so we may not have to have the really high highs and the really low lows. If we can find that point where yes, we're tasting the buffet of life, yes, we're loving it, yes, we're enjoying ourselves, and we're also able to handle like the lows, the disappointments as well, because I think sometimes, you know, this Neptunian fog can give us these like high expectations also, right? Yeah. That's part of the storm. We feel lifted. We feel like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And then when something doesn't happen, we feel that disappointment. So, and we want to quit everything, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like finding that point of, look, no matter what the circumstances are on the outside, I know I'm going to be okay because I trust myself in that moment. Like that's what we can cultivate for next year for sure.
Okay. So you alluded to this as the big transit that you wanted to focus on, the Jupiter Neptune conjunction in Pisces. Yeah. Is that what you're going to say? Is
oh my gosh. Thing? Yes. Yes. Yeah. This is the thing. I'm so excited about this for next year. So yeah, if I had to pick one like big transit for next year, and of course, like I'm excited it's during my lunation. So
that's a good deal. You're going to be our astrologer in the inner circle for that.
I know. I got to, you know, get all ready. Yes.
Yes.
I'm excited to talk about Jupiter conjunct Neptune in the sign of Pisces.
And Rachel, what's the exact date of that?
So the exact date is, depending on your ephemeris and software and all that, it's basically like the 12th of April. Could also be like the 9th of April, depending on how you calculate. But like, let's say the 12th of April for the sake of today, 2022. And it's going to be exact in 23 degrees Pisces.
Okay. So anybody with planets around 23 degrees Pisces will be very impacted by this. What orb would you use for that?
I like to use a 2-degree orb. So if you use like a 2-degree orb, this is going to start around the 2nd of April, and then it's going to go through the 23rd of April. So it's really quite, it's like almost all of like that kind of like that Aries season and then a little bit into Taurus season. Yeah, this is just a really incredible moment because it's also one that hasn't happened for a very long time. And when I first got into astrology, I was so fascinated. Well, I'm still now, obviously, but I'm so fascinated with the cultural, societal aspect of astrology and looking at these transits over time. So I looked up some things for everyone here that I think you'll really enjoy this before I kind of talk about what it means. So this Jupiter conjunct Neptune in Pisces has not happened for 165 years. And this is really because like Neptune is in each sign for about 15 years. So you go back far enough, you know, I went back into all the ephemerises, like you get to 1856. And 1856 is when the last time that this happened, Jupiter was conjunct Neptune in Pisces. And it's really amazing to kind of look at what was happening historically at that time during that whole 15-year kind of Neptune transit. And then around 1856, I mean, so much was happening in our culture and society. And it's not to say that these exact things are going to happen again. Now, I'm not here to scaremonger or anything, but it's interesting to see how those cultural shifts were, I think, you know, like maybe benefically, you know, affected by Jupiter and Neptune kind of coming together and high-fiving each other at that time. So there's some really interesting things that happened back in the day. So this would have been, the last time would have been that Neptune was in Pisces was 1847 to 1862. And then this exact conjunction happened 1856, about like March 17th. And that was at 18 degrees Pisces. So not too far off of like where we are now, which is really cool to think about. So what was going on back then? I mean, 1848, we had revolutions across Europe. 1861, the Confederacy formed. We had in 1859, Darwin's Origin of Species was published. If anyone's really into art like I am, the Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood was formed in 1848. I'm obsessed. Their art is all about like the higher ideals, the romanticism, you know, of the human experience, you know, of love. It was all this very imaginative, like hopeful, optimistic, you know, kind of ethereal like paintings. I absolutely love them. So all of this was happening at that time, which I think is really fascinating. And then you go back even further to like, you know, 165 years before that. And we have like, you know, Louis XIV, who I believe was the Sun King in France, and he was, you know, outlawing every religion except Roman Catholicism. And then we have, you know, like the Salem witch trials at that time. And it's just fascinating to kind of think about these seminal moments in history that really took place during these Neptunian transits. So what's going to happen for us? You know, there's the kind of questions like, how can we use this for ourselves? And how can we kind of understand the bigger context of our culture and our society and what we're going through now? So I want to mention a little bit about, or do you want me to pause there for a moment?
It's just fascinating. As you're speaking, I'm trying to like figure out some of the themes, you know, that were happening in both of the time periods that you explained. And I don't have a complete hypothesis yet, but I'm like, thinking about it. Cause it's interesting. You said Confederacy formed, Darwin's Origin of the Species. There was a new kind of renaissance in art that was coming out. And I was thinking, like, I wonder if they were painting what they were hoping for, or what they were experiencing.
Yes,
you know, was it more about like this is the possibility we can see, or this is, you know, what we experience now in our lives?
Oh, this is such a good question. So I think my theory is more the possibility of what we can see. They wanted to break away from the like ultra religious art of like Raphael, and they were like, okay, how can we go reinvent, back to imagination, back to fantasy, back to reinvention, and this idea of like higher ideals. And I think something that I see anyway, I would love to hear what you see like in all of these things, is this idealism. Like you don't, you know, start a revolution in Europe unless you have something that you like really, really believe in, right?
Well, and you have to have enough pain happening too. Yeah. I mean, you have to be.
People had enough.
Yeah, exactly. There had to be something for them to have that groundswell of energy to actually do something different.
Exactly. And I have a quote I want to share, because when every time I teach about like the planets, I love to have like different quotes that I just think match so perfectly with them. So my quote for Neptune that I think is so perfect here is from George Bernard Shaw. And he said, "I see things and I say why, but then I dream things that have not been, and I say, why not?" Right? And it's this idea of dreaming gives us a vision of a better world. It gives us a vision of what we think, you know, it may not be better for everyone. Everyone has a different vision. Everyone has a different dream, but we get this vision and this higher sense of what is possible. And I think that, you know, in the highest expression of Neptune, this is what we can tap into. We can tap into what is our vision for what is possible? What is our dream? What is our hope? And I think that all these people, you know, whether you agree with what action they took or not, you know, looking back at these historic, obviously, you know, hindsight is 2020, but looking back at some of these historical movements, they all had a dream. They were all, you know, taking action for something, for a better world, for a better life in the way that they imagined it. So I think we can take that to heart now too, with this Jupiter Neptune conjunction. I can't wait for it. I mean, conjunctions are really powerful, right? Like, and they're also really interesting because a lot of times with conjunctions, things kind of like merge into each other a bit. And Jupiter and Neptune have this history. Like I said, you know, Jupiter used to be kind of the ruling planet for Pisces, and now Neptune is. And so they have this like interesting dance between them historically. I think every time Jupiter comes along and touches something, it's all about expansion. Right? It's all about like, okay, how can we give more? And I don't think it's necessarily expansion because it's necessarily the right thing. It's just like, okay, I'm going to give my touch to this, you know, in like Roman Greek mythology, you know, Neptune is the god of the sea and the earth. And then Jupiter is the god of the heavens. So it's like, okay, now they're going to be working together for this moment in time, for these few weeks, you know, they're going to be working together to expand like our vision of what we want for ourselves and what we want for our culture. I just wrote down a few things. I'm like, this is expansion of our spirit. You know, if Neptune is the spirit and Jupiter is expansion, ooh, like to me, it's very heady. It's almost like you feel like high, like thinking about it. It's like, you know, ooh, it's like uplifting, you know, this is about seeing a different reality, a different world. This is about, I wrote optimism meets divine connection. You know, it's like, how can we uplift ourselves? How can we explore? How can we learn more, you know, in order to uplift our own selves and our own lives? It's that higher knowledge. If there's a storm with Neptune, when Jupiter meets it, it's going to be a storm of inspiration.
So how much of the year is this going to color? I mean, I know it's a huge conjunction. Yeah. So is it like going to be the kind of conjunction that happens and creates a ripple effect that we experience for a longer period of time? Or is it going to be like a blip on the radar in 2022, but the rest of it's going to be a very different feeling?
A very different. I think it's going to be option A. I think it's going to be something that happens. I think there's a lot building up to it. I think all of this kind of Neptunian energy has been kind of building up, and that Jupiter conjuncting Neptune is going to be a bit of a release of energy. I mean, time will tell, but that's kind of my prediction for it, is that it will be like, okay, we've built up, we've had this kind of pressure inside of us of this storm of what does it all mean, you know, for us on an individual level, not just on a cultural level, but what does it mean for us? What is our connection to our spirit? How are we inspired? And then I think that this conjunction is going to open the gates. I think it's going to be an opening, an awakening, an enlightenment, you know, and then I think it will be reverberating for the rest of the year. Yeah.
Wow. That's really positive. I can't remember. I guess the Jupiter conjunction at the end of 2020, we kind of had
hopes. Saturn and.
Yeah. But yeah. Saturn and Jupiter feels way different than Jupiter and Neptune.
Yeah. That's it's very different.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember the same sort of like sense of, well, maybe by the end of 2020, things will feel like they've sort of, you know, resolved a little bit, or at least I remember one of the astrologers saying, we'll have a better sense for why we're going through what we're going through at the end of 2020, which I still think we're pretty confused about.
I agree. Yeah.
But okay. So this is really interesting. So we have that Jupiter Pisces conjunction during your inner circle month in April. Mm-hmm. Well, anything else for the rest of the year? I know I really wanted you to focus on one main one, but is there anything else?
Yeah. I mean, those are really the kind of primary one. That's really the primary one I want to talk about along with the nodes. So, Yeah. I mean, there's so much happening next year, but you've got to also leave stuff for the other astrologers to talk about too.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I like putting our focus in on a few things and just, and really unpacking those. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this first. Let's talk. I want to go to a question that I'm going to ask you as a coach, because you're an astrologer and a coach.
Yes.
So I'll get to that next, and that will be about inner strength.
Okay, yeah.
But before we do that, can you tell us a little bit about the mastery class that you'll be teaching in the inner circle?
Yes. Oh my goodness. So the mastery class I'm going to be teaching is all about using the four angles. So we're going to talk about the rising sign, the IC, the descendant, and the MC. And we're going to talk about them in terms of how to harness what's going on with your angles as you step into your hero's journey, as you look at your life as your hero's journey. So that's the theme for my lunation, your hero's journey. I cannot wait. It's going to be a beautiful exploration.
Rachel, for those that don't really know what hero's journey is, or for anybody that wants to hear how you would define it, what is the hero's journey to you?
Oh, yeah. So the hero's journey is, I mean, it was a term coined, you know, actually, I should look up the exact date. I don't have the exact date for you, but it's this kind of 12 steps that most, you know, heroic stories follow. And so there's all, you know, it starts off, I've got the list here. It starts off with being in an ordinary world and the idea that so many stories, so many novels, so many books, so many kind of heroic journeys start in an ordinary world. And then you're taken into this like magical special world. Things happen, you learn, and then you come back again at the end, a changed person. And so that's this idea that, you know, like, you think about Tolkien, right? You think about Lord of the Rings, you think about Harry Potter, you think about the story of Superman, like any story that has a hero in it, you know, pretty much follows these steps and follows this, this like plot structure, shall we say, of, you know, meeting the mentor, having your call to adventure, something that changes in your world that catapults you onto this path, you know, and it's a really incredible way to understand literature, but it's such an incredible way to understand our lives as well. And I cannot wait to talk about how we can combine this with astrology in terms of understanding how can we be our own hero. You know, and not wait and expect, oh, some other hero is going to save us. Some other hero is coming to change our world. It's like, we are the hero. We're all born our own hero. And how can we like tap into that inner strength and answer that call to adventure? So I can't.
And so our charts actually show us this. You're saying the four angles actually show us, what does it show us? Like where we're at on the hero's journey and, or does it show us sort of the storyline of our own hero's journey?
Like kind of the storyline. Yeah, exactly. Wow. Like without giving too much away, like looking at the signs and what's happening and they're, you know, the four different angles represent different moments on the hero's journey. And so of course, you know, just like the birth chart, the hero's journey is a cycle. So we are going through these cycles all the time. It's not like we finish the journey and then we're done. We start a new journey always, right? Mm-hmm. And so, And so the four angles can really give you an idea of how your particular journey looks. Not everyone's journey is the same, but learning and tapping into those different points and what we need on the journey and how we, what we're here to do, I think is just going to be so exciting for people.
Amazing. Okay. Yeah. So that will be the mastery class that Rachel is teaching for the Inner Circle students. Very exciting. All right. And Rachel, as a coach, so if we are going to be needing to become the eye of the storm, and we're going to need to find that strength to be the eye of the storm. How do, is there anything we can start doing now? Or is there any like tools or practices or things that you would recommend to a client or someone or a group that you're coaching or teaching? How would you say that we can embark on that?
Yes, absolutely. So I think that, well, there are many tools, as many tools as there are coaches out there. But I think that the first step is starting to get clear on what our vision for ourselves is. I mean, whenever I start working with people, we always start with goals. You would love this, Kefra. because a lot of people, they know they want to make a change or they know they want to grow in a certain way, but they don't necessarily know how or what or why. And so I think it's actually important to take that step back and to see the big picture as Neptune, you know, encourages us to do and to say, okay, what is it that I want to create and why? Is it that I'm trying to be a certain person because this was the expectation of my primary caregivers? Am I trying to, you know, like make a lot of money because I think that's how I can, you know, have a strong sense of confidence? Like, what is it? And so I think taking a step back and getting clear on your vision for yourself as you enter this new year, I mean, there's so much pressure, I think, to have goals. And this isn't how I want it to feel. I want it to feel like a vision, not like a list. You know, it's more of a visual. It's more of a like, how do I want to feel when I wake up in the morning? How do I want to, you know, respond to challenging situations? What kind of person do I want to be? So I think, yeah, getting that clear vision for yourself that's not based on anyone else's expectations is like the first step. And then looking at that bigger picture by looking both backwards and forwards. I think so often we tend to look backwards for evidence of what we think our future is going to be. And that's just crazy because, because the mind doesn't know what's possible for us, right? It only knows what's happened in the past. Like literally our mind works on patterns. And so if you're trying to break a pattern, you don't want to necessarily obsess and look at the past. You want to be visualizing, you know, okay, so that's what happened before. That's who I dated before. That's how I was at work before, right? But that doesn't have to be the future. And everything is possible. So I think looking backwards for the lessons and the inner strength that you've gathered so far is great, but also, you know, looking forward and saying, okay, but if things are possible for me, I have to think differently. I have to look at my life differently, which is challenging for our brain. Our brain doesn't want to do that. So it's a little bit of that kind of like kickstarting that vision, you know, that I think is really key. And emotional regulation is the utmost important. I think we think that, you know, the way to build resilience is by like just being strong, you know, like, oh, I'm just going to be strong and I'm going to like push down my feelings and I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to not cry. I mean, there were like a 10-year period in my life where I was so proud to tell people that I never cry. Mm. That's just ridiculous. And it was like, it was coming out in other ways, right? In my anxiety, in my panic attack. And so once I learned how to cry, and actually I just did a masterclass a few last week and I cried in the masterclass and people were like, oh, this is amazing. It's like permission, you know? I'm like, yes. Yeah. It's part of who we are. And the more that we accept and allow our emotions to come up and allow them to be, the stronger that we are, because the more resilient we are. So yeah, emotional regulation.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's been so much opportunity to practice those things, I feel. And it's really interesting having children too, because
you
can see like little things happen throughout their life. And I can see these moments of like, you know, if she hadn't told me what was really going on underneath, or if we hadn't taken that 20 minutes to really like unpack what was underneath that anger that was coming out towards her sister or whatever, like she would have stored that, you know, she would have like bottled that up. And how many of us have like a million of those things just like bottled up? And one of the things that I've been working with is the idea that it has to take forever to like uncover these things and do.
No, we don't like have to like talk about it. It's actually, we just need to sit and feel it. You know, we need to feel it.
Yes.
And I think so many of us are, we're so afraid of feeling the feelings because we think if we start feeling it, it will never end and we'll never get back to a point of stasis. When actually, if we feel the feeling, it's just like after a good cry, you feel better. Oh. You know, I mean, most people, like I do anyway. It's like, you really, like when you're in the middle of it, it doesn't feel good. You're just like, you're shaking. Like, it's like, however you feel, your cheeks get hot. And, but then afterwards you're like, oh, I feel better. You know, and it's true. It's you're allowing the emotions to pass through instead of stopping them and bottling them. You know, that is how you are truly, you build that inner strength, because you're just allowing yourself to feel so that you can, it can pass through. And then you are on the other side of it. And then you're like, okay, what's next? What's next from life?
Right. And not being afraid to feel it. I mean, I think so many times we have built walls around these things that we're experiencing because we're afraid to feel it because of, like you said, like it, maybe it'll never end, or maybe, I mean, there's a lot of probably very irrational fears we have around it. And maybe some of them actually have served us up until this moment. But in order to, like you're talking about, become the person in your vision, become the person that you're trying to become, so often all of that power in you is underneath a lot of those things that you haven't felt yet. Or haven't wanted to go yet. You haven't gone underneath those things that have hardened. Mm-hmm. And so getting under there will help you access a lot more than you ever realized you had. And I love what some of the people are saying in the chat, like Nalani and Caroline and Ia Canelli. Am I saying that right? Crying is cleansing, sacred tears, healing tears. I always have said that tears are like this built-in technology that we have within our biology
Yes.
that's designed to help us like cleanse and move things through ourselves energetically. And
Absolutely.
So when we like block it, we're like blocking this very intelligent design. Yes.
No, you're exactly. so right. And I mean, if anyone actually tries to, you know, there are techniques where you can actually sit down and like time yourself and just be like, okay, I'm going to let myself cry now. You know, like if you've been holding it in, you've had a tough day at work. You're like, okay, I'm going to let myself cry. You know, it's very hard to cry for a long time. Like it actually is. And plus here's an added benefit. I've heard that if you cry for 7 minutes, at least, your skin gets all these benefits from the release of like the hormones and stuff.
Wow.
So amazing. Yeah. So 7 minute cry, everyone. That's the,
Right. Okay.
You heard it here first.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to set a timer and we're going to cry. I don't know if I can cry on demand like that, but.
Oh, really? I can. Yeah.
You could be like, I'm going to cry for the next 7 minutes and you just do.
And you just like, well, if you feel that it's built up, right? Like if you're okay, I just, you know, I can't do it right now. I'm washing the dishes, taking care of baby, but like at some point I would like to have just an emotional release. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe it's my Pisces rising.
It's awesome. I love it. I'm going to try it. All right. Thank you, Rachel. It's been such a pleasure to spend this time with you and to peer into 2022, but also get some strategies that we can start implementing now so that we're ready for the energies that are coming our way. Very excited to spend more time with you at the forecast panel next week with your 11 other peers, including Achyut Abhava and Adam Summer and Stormy Grace and Linda Bird and Gary Caton and Jen Zart. I'm not going to say all the names, but there's amazing, amazing crew gathering for next week. The event is totally free. We would love to have all of you there if you haven't already signed up. If you are an Inner Circle member, you don't have to sign up. So don't worry. We're going to give you all the information you need to join. If you're not an Inner Circle member, yes, please register. If you can't make it live, still register so that we know to send you the limited time replay of the event. So that we're going to give you the weekend so that you can get your 2022 fix and get your insights into what's happening next year. So that is at astrologyhub.com/2022forecast. astrologyhub.com/2022forecast. This is also the kickoff for our Inner Circle membership. We only open membership twice a year. You're going to meet all of the astrologers who are going to be a part of that Inner Circle experience next year. You're going to get to learn about their mastery classes, which you learned about Rachel today. Rachel's going to be teaching on the four angles and your hero's journey. So every single astrologer will be teaching a mastery class next year. And you're going to get to meet all those astrologers and see if like, hey, I'd want to learn more from these people. And I think they have something that I'd love to learn. It's a great group. We have a great community. We've just recently moved the community off Facebook. We're in the process of doing that. And we're moving into Mighty Networks, which has been an awesome shift for us. So lots of amazing things coming. Thank you, everybody, so much for being here. Rachel, thank you. It's been so fun to be here with you as well.
Oh, such a pleasure. Thank you. And yeah, I can't wait to see everyone at the forecast. It's going to be brilliant.
Yes, it is. It is. All right. So that is happening next week. Thank you so much for being here. As always, thank you for making astrology a part of your life. I'll catch you on the next episode. Take care, everyone.